Yeah.
Hey, Earl.
This is Mike Miller. How are you?
Well, you know, Brother Mike, how's everything going?
I'm doing great. Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my extreme pleasure tonight to have as my guest on the show one of my idols, one of the legends of R&B, Mr. Earl Speedo Carroll. Hi, Earl. How are you?
How are you, Mike?
I'm doing fine, man. And let me just say, it's a thrill. I have been on stage with you a couple of times over the years, known to you and probably unknown to you at times. I had my group Harmony Street, and we did some shows together. I had three ladies in the group. And always when you come out and you do your strutting, most of the groups that are sitting in the wings usually come out to the side of the curtain to catch what Earl is doing, because Earl is the man, so I just need to say that.
That is nice of you, and I'd like to thank you for inviting me to your show to be a guest.
Okay, well, you know, let's just dig in and find out all about your trip through this wonderful genre. The first thing I want to say is that I know that in those early days, because I was a dean in the Bronx in New York for 30 years, and I had the pleasure of having Jimmy Key's two sons, Paul and Jimmy Jr., and Jimmy used to come into career day and talk to the people, and the one thing that he said to the crowd was, we never sang doo-wop. We sang R&B and we sang jazz, and that's what we called it. And it wasn't until later on that somebody said, hey, you know, you guys sing some great doo-wop. And he said, really, I didn't know that, because, you know, we thought we were doing R&B and we thought we were singing some jazz. So
in those early years, it was R&B and street corner singing.
Absolutely. You started in Harlem.
Yes.
In 1953.
That's right. Well, the group is from Harlem. We're all born and raised right in Harlem.
Right.
And, we started professionally in 52.
Oh, wow, which is early on. I mean, I know that just talking about Terry had the Whispers, and that was back in, 53, 54, and that was a great group, too. But he thought he was singing R&B back then, too, until Gus Gossett told him that he was singing
doo-wop. One of our idols also, Richard Boone.
Absolutely.
One of the big groups from the Bronx area in New York.
Oh, sure. Was the Chords, of course.
That's right.
And
a lot of people don't know, if you ask who did Shaboom, they
right.
would be the Crew Cuts.
Well, you know, because Jimmy always used to say at Career Day, he said, you know, we died on the R&B charts, the Crew Cuts made all the money, and, over the years, nobody really knew that I wrote Shaboom, and believe it or not, I was going to bring him up to Waterbury, Connecticut, up to Johnny B's show in Waterbury a few years ago. And believe it or not, and he was going to stay at my house. Believe it or not, he passed away about 2 weeks before we did the show.
That's something, yeah.
And everybody was at his funeral.
Idol, see?
Yeah, you know, and he really, he didn't realize the money or get the appreciation that he should have gotten writing a tune like that, you know.
But that was the thing in the early 50s, they would look at the charts, and whatever record was riding the charts had just came on the charts.
Right.
And it was by a black act. They would take a white group and take them in the studio and have them record the same tune.
Right.
And release it nationwide, you know. And that's what they did on Shaboom.
Oh, yeah.
They had the big hit, the Crew Cuts. Because while they were just getting played in New York, Washington, and Baltimore, and what have you, the Crew Cuts just went national with it. And that just, like, cut their throats. And that was it for the Chords. But
yeah.
they did it just about exactly how the Crew Cuts did it.
I know. And you know, it could make you bitter, but, you know, even guys like Herb Reed, I mean, Herb Reed once told me in a dressing tent, he said, hey, you know, kid, it was bittersweet. You know, people made love and had babies, you know, to some of our tunes. And, you know, when we were up there, it was magic and they were swooning. But, you know, I was eating on the bus. So,
that's right.
You know, it was tough.
Segregation in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And, segregation was really everywhere, rather. you know, and it was a black and white thing, and it's amazing how people was cutting. Well, they had Pat Boone running and Duke
right.
Rudy.
Yeah,
Bill Richard had just released it, and that's the way they done things in the early 50s.
No, though. I know, but, you know, okay, so, you know, there's a group on the street corner called the Carnations.
Okay.
And that was you, and who were the guys that were singing on the corner with you?
That was Robert Phillips,
right.
Myself, Laverne Drake.
Right.
Mm-hmm, and Johnny Woodenham at that time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And a couple other guys. Most of the guys were from the neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I'll tell you, my group Harmony Street was very lucky. You know, I had three girls in the group, and so when you have three girls backing you up, it keeps you honest because you got to be way up there.
Right.
You know, that it brings the tenor out in you. But I will say that we were lucky enough to go to the White House and sing for Bill and Hillary a few years ago, you know, at their Christmas party. But one of the guys that really helped me hype it was a guy down here by the name of Kenny Held, who I've known for years and years. And Kenny always tells me that his aunt was Esther Navarro. And he was around as a little kid.
Kenny is a sweetheart, too.
Stomping around, you know, listening to all the groups. If I throw that name, Esther Navarro, at you, what do you have to say about Esther?
A lovely lady.
Yep.
Very brilliant. She was a manager, and she was a hell of a manager. She knew what she was doing.
Right.
Knew the business.
Right.
And she used to work for one of the biggest booking agencies in America.
Right.
That's how we met her. Well, we met her through a young man named Lubber Patterson.
Uh-huh.
And he used to exploit different groups from the New York area, man, the Drifters, and he did a lot of things with other groups, and he introduced us to Esther Navarro. She was working for Shore.
Right.
At that time.
Uh-huh.
And he took us, we got a meeting with her, and we went down and we sang. She loved what she heard.
Right.
She wasn't crazy about the name Carnations.
Uh-huh.
But she loved the group, and she told us to go back in the woodshed and pick out another name. Well, at that time, all the bird names
were taken, yeah.
Had the flamingos,
right.
And you had the swans and the different bird names.
The Orioles. Right.
The Orioles and all of them. And most of the bird names were gone. So we said, damn.
Yeah.
Had to go another way. And we say, what's the best car America has to offer?
Right.
One of the guys said, well, Cadillac.
Right.
Ding, and the bell just went off.
Wow.
He said that. I mean, you don't get much sharper than that, a Cadillac.
That's true.
And so we called ourselves the Cadillacs, and it worked out for us. And we met Esther Navarro, and
uh-huh.
She took us to meet Jubilee Record Man.
Right.
What was his name?
Jerry Blaine.
Jerry Blaine. He was the head of Jubilee Records.
Right.
We went in and recorded, and the verse recording was Gloria.
Gloria. Gloria. Not Maria, Gloria, is not Jerry, Gloria, but she's not lost with me. And you see, it's not Maria, Gloria, it's not Jerry, Gloria, but she's not La. me.
Boom, 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 boom.
Right. Let's talk about Gloria for a minute. I mean, you know, being that I've done this, you know, I'm only a puppy. I'm 64. You know, so I was on the street corner back then too when I could. And you know, of course, that any group that was worth their salt, when people used to come up and say, "Let's hear what you got," you know, it had to be Gloria. And how you sang that tune was how people judged you as an a cappella group, and it's still that way. So let's just say that you guys set the bar very, very high for everything that followed you as far as that tune was concerned, because it is the true national anthem of, you know, if I can say R&B or doo-wop, and it's just has a life of its own.
Yes, it does. Every group on the East Coast did a recording of Gloria. And Gloria was an old standard. We first heard it by the Mills Brothers.
Right.
Gloria, it's not Marie, it's Gloria. It's not Sherry, it's Gloria. She's in your every dream. You try to play the game of kiss and run away, but now you find it's not that way. Somehow you changed, it seems. Wasn't Madeline your first love? It was just hello, goodbye. Wasn't Caroline your last love? It's a shame you made her cry. What a fool you are. You gave your heart to Gloria. You're not so smart, 'cause Gloria is not in love with you. Wasn't Madeline your first love? It was just hello, goodbye. Wasn't Caroline your last love? It's a shame you made her cry. Oh, what a fool you are. You gave your heart to Gloria. You're not so smart, 'cause Gloria is not in love with you. Gloria is not in love with you.
Right, I remember that version, yep.
Uh-huh, and Charles Brown did a version of it also.
Right.
Gloria and a couple of other artists. But we went the doo-wop way. We say, well, how can we make this more or less like street corner singing,
right,
more or less?
Right.
And at that time, the highest of voice was in.
Right.
You say, we'll add a little high voice.
Right.
And put a little doo-wop style to it.
Right.
And lo and behold, it's one one of the biggest things we ever done, and it's amazing how everybody's recording Gloria.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and another thing about that, and it's funny, but you know, some groups, believe it or not, because I can't think of a group who hasn't recorded, including every group that I've done the tune on CDs with groups, and kind of saddle up to you and say, what key do you do Gloria in? Because some guys do it in E, some guys do it in F, some guys do it in G. I know Jimmy Gallagher's still doing it in F. I mean, you know, Eddie Pardocci probably does it in the key of R. You know?
That is amazing.
You know.
And we did it over again. We just had a CD released a couple of years ago, Have You Heard the News?
Right, right.
And we did it in Spanish. And we did another doo-wop, the same doo-wop style with a little more doo-wop flavor to it.
Right.
And Gloria, that's one of those tunes that's going to be around. I think it's number 500 or so in the top 500. They're in there somewhere. Gloria's in there somewhere.
Well, it's in my top three.
Oh,
so never mind.
Okay.
In my house, it's in the top three. So never mind. So let's move along now. You know, you're in the studio, actually, and you've released Gloria and one or two other tunes. You're doing the Moonlight Sail with the Stars, and it's along the Hudson,
okay.
Right? And if I can take you back that far.
I recall that one.
There were, as far as I know, there were some great groups that were connected with that, yours being one of them. And comes to your second release, Wishing Well.
I dropped a penny in the wishing well. Yeah, as wishing that you wouldn't tell. Yes, I love you. Yes, it's true. Something tells me that you love me too. I can't stand it. Why did you go? Yes, knowing you would hurt me so.
Wishing well, wedding bells, wishing you would tell.
Yes, I love you, darling. Yes, and God knows it's true. But something tells my poor worthless heart, dear, that you love me too. Yes, I pray to God. Yes, pray He'll bring you back to me. Tells me that you love me too.
Wishing well, wedding bell, wishing you would tell. Ding dong, ding dong, ding.
Wishing well, yeah.
And I want to know about love.
I want to know about love. We had some pretty nice things, but they tried to keep us in that up-tempo bag.
Right.
You know, they wanted fast things, more or less. Although we did some ballads, and I think some very good ballads that I'm very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And but they didn't play too much of the ballads. They wanted to keep us in an up-tempo type of feel.
Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to mention that has always been a trademark of yours is the fact that the Cadillacs always danced up a storm and were always in the upper echelon as far as choreography went. Because as you know, some groups just came out there and they stood there and they said, we're going to sing this or we're going to sing that. And they sang well.
Yes.
Other groups came out, like, you know, Anthony and the Imperials and the Cadillacs and groups of that sort. And they not only gave you an audio, you know, thrilled your ears, but they also thrilled your eyes because the visual was fantastic as well. And that's what you guys had, you know. How did the dance moves come about?
Well, thanks to Esther Navarro again.
Right.
She was a very good business manager. She wasn't really a songwriter, but she was a dynamite personal manager and for handling your business.
Right.
And she introduced us to Charlie Atkins.
Right.
From Atkins and Cole, the dance theme.
Right.
And they did. They were in the movies at that time anyway. They did Blondes, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Right.
And those guys were they're so professional. They were one of the top dancers.
Yeah, I read that they taught everybody, you know.
Yes, they did.
I was looking for Hines and Dad on that list because I used to work with them up in the Catskills. I'll bet you they touched Charlie, too.
Also.
Yeah.
And Charlie kind of took us up underneath his wing, Charlie Atkins.
Right.
And we used to go to the Ed Sullivan Theater down on Broadway and rehearse sometimes 8 hours a day.
Wow.
They would give them the Master Jubilee, would give them our next release, and he would go in and work out the steps, and then he'll have us down. And he kept us, you know, on our toes and sharp and looking good. And he was a professional. And I give him a lot of credit for the Cadillac Circle.
Right.
Because that was the first group that was not only singing, but they were dancing also.
Well, it's tough, you know, when I mean, I know because I've been in groups that where, you know, to get four white guys up there to do like a hand turn or a step on every syllable and you get to the bridge and the whole mood changes, you know, as far as the dancing goes, you know, that's pretty tough in groups that I've been in, you know, but I know how tough that is to choreograph an entire
that's
tune.
That's right. That, yeah. You know, and we all had two left feet. Charlie straightened it out, and he told us what he wanted, and
right.
We did what he wanted, and it worked out. And we were one of the first dancing groups that came out. Then they took him over to Motown.
Right.
They hired him. Motown hired him. And he taught everybody over there, even the Supremes.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine, you know, because...
OJ's,
yep.
Gladys Knight, and the Pips.
Wow. Well, you know, the Pips had some great moves, too.
Yes, they did.
You could have taken Gladys away and just put the Pips up there and then put Gladys back, and right. People wouldn't have missed, you know, much.
But like you said, it was all inspired by the Cadillacs.
Right. No, I know.
Even the Temptations told us, you know, I mean... We seen the Cadillacs, and we just know we had to be a part of that.
Right, which you know, and we still embrace that because, you know, Paulette and I were at the show in Boca, you know, last week,
mm-hmm.
And you're still moving and grooving, man.
Isn't
you know?
That something? And that was a good show, and Joey calls me and tell me how much the people love it.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, it was
the Cadillacs. And
It was a great show. And I'll tell you, when you bring good people together and you pour it all into a funnel, it all comes out good because I always said you can take the CEO of the bank, you can take the guy that painted his house, the guy that works on his car, the guy up the block from him, and they're all sitting shoulder to shoulder at an oldie show. And there's commonality there, and it's all about the music. It brings so many different types of people together.
That's right.
You know, that's what I love. You know, you look out from the stage. A lot of times you can only see the first two rows because the lights are in your eyes, you know.
That's right. But you're enjoying the show and the music.
Oh, yeah. You know, I say sometimes because the crowd is getting older, it's like an oil painting out there. I said, you know, you can freeze frame it, and it's like an oil painting. Nothing moves. And then the same crowd that's so still, when you're looking out at them, they'll come up to you after the show and say, wow, it was great. It was terrific. It was great. You don't know what they're thinking, because at this age, you know, here's a woman in the first row. Her husband is asleep by the second tune already because she dragged them. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You know, and but it's all good, you know.
That's right. And I'm glad to see that it's still alive and kicking, the old good old rock and roll.
Oh,
music.
Absolutely.
African music, really.
So the Cadillacs have the choreography down, and they actually have a couple of hits under their belt, you know, which is to come out and have one tune that gets airplay, you know, is pretty tough. To come back and have not only your audience embrace you and look for another tune, but you have other groups now listening to you and say,
exactly.
And listening to the Cadillacs.
Exactly.
That's when you know you've hit it, when the other groups are doing
the
tunes.
They all out there to see what you're doing.
You have a lot going on, and then all of a sudden there's a tune called No Chance,
mm-hmm.
and it's a dance tune, and, you know, it's got that sax on it.
Right, that hot sax.
And here's all of a sudden the Cadillacs, here we go with another up-tempo tune.
Well, I couldn't be so good to you if you'd be good to me. I could be so good to you if you'd be good to me. But every time I'm good to you, you treat me miserably. You give me no chance, no chance, no chance, no.
Come on, give me one chance.
No chance, no chance, no chance, no.
Come on, give me one chance.
No chance, no chance, no chance, no. Well, you could have my everything if you just say the word. You could have my everything if you just say the word. But you're a little fickle thing, free as any bird. You give me no chance, no chance, no chance, no.
Come on, give me that chance.
No chance, no chance, no chance, no.
Come on, give me one chance.
No chance, no chance, no chance, no. Put you down. But if you make a fool of me, I have to put you down. But you ain't never seen no fool till I start fooling round. I'll give you no chance, no chance, no chance, no.
Come on, give me one chance.
No chance, no chance, no chance, no.
No, no, no chance, chance, chance.
No chance, no chance, no chance, no.
And thanks to a young man named Alan Freed, too.
Uh-huh.
He helped out quite a bit. He kept the music alive, and I mean, jumping. He was one of the biggest things of his era.
Right.
And he loved the music, and he kept good shows.
Uh-huh.
I remember playing the New York Paramount with Count Basie.
Wow.
And his 18-piece band, and
wow.
Al Sayers, and Sam the Man Taylor.
Oh.
And those guys, and it was just great.
Yeah, and what a thrill is that? I mean, I went to LIU for a while, and that's the basketball court is where the old Paramount Theater was, believe it or not. And, you know, and that's really interesting. And, of course, the Brooklyn Fox is down the street.
Right.
And I'm sure you did plenty of Murray shows.
Oh, yes, we did.
You know, because he was a character. And then there's a tune called Down the Road.
Oh, I'm going far away, I'm leaving baby. I'm going away to stay by my baby. Down the road I go. Well now if you want, you better tell me now. I'm gonna leave you. Oh yeah, say to y'all by my baby. Down the road I go. I guess I'll always love you. I will. I love the stars who will pass their glass. Oh, down, down, baby. On down the road I go, leaving you, baby. Ain't coming back no more, bye, bye, baby. Down the road I go.
I love you, yes I do. I need you, oh yes I do. I have to go, I really have to go. I'm going down the road.
Well, down, down, baby. Oh, down the road I go, leaving you, baby. Ain't coming back no more, bye, bye, baby. Down the road I go.
And then I'm listening to Window Lady, and I'm saying, you know, in Holland, if you go to Amsterdam in Holland, you know, they have ladies in the window.
Going into the red light district there, man.
So I'm thinking, Window Lady, you know, that could have been a hit over there too.
That's it, could have been. I mean, you know.
Window, 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 lady, window, 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 lady, ooh.
Window, lady, sitting by your window, watching every passerby. You must have a story. Tell me, what's your story? Seems as though you want to cry. Window lady, sitting by your window, tell me what can be your name. Pretty as a picture, you're pretty as a picture, sitting there behind your window frame. Did your man run off and leave you all alone, and now you part? If I were yours, I'd never grieve you. Let me come in. Let me come into your heart. Window lady, sitting by your window, won't you take one chance with me? I would take your sadness, turn it into gladness. Window lady, let me in, please do. For window lady, I love you.
Blue, 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 blue.
I
once again, you know, those tunes, really, if you listen to the tune, it's jazz.
That's right.
There's scat going on, and there's all kinds of things
Eddie
going on.
Eddie, my love, and all. Right. I mean, well, love was a big thing in the early 50s. We did some nice ballads, and but they didn't get over because of them playing. They really didn't push them as much.
Yeah, well, you know, record companies are funny. You know, it's funny. I spoke to Lloyd Price, and I have a friend, Don Teague, and Phil Ramone. They're doing the Lloyd Price story. It's going to be called Lordy Miss Claudy.
Wow, and when is that coming?
Well, they want to bring it to Broadway. They're working on it now in New Orleans, and they want Eddie Murphy to play the lead, believe it or not.
Wow,
they're going after Eddie Murphy.
That would be a good... Lloyd was a giant in those days.
What he told me was this. He said, every record that I put out, I wrote... And every record that I put out, I own the record company.
Well, that's beautiful.
And
yes.
I said, you know.
That's the tapes.
He says, and I didn't have to deal with Morris Levy. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to deal with, you know.
Antique Records.
Right, exactly. I didn't have to give up anything. And because, you know, and he says, and I didn't even learn it from watching my friends go ripped off. He said, for some reason, it just worked out that way, he said, and I wasn't beholden to anybody.
Well, that's good for him, man. You know, that's good for him.
You know how many guys wrote some great tunes?
Well, a lot of them wrote great, but they, you know, they didn't get credit on the record.
Right.
Didn't get credit at all.
I know.
I mean, Lloyd Price was, I mean, a giant in his day, and he had some biggies.
You know? Right. You know, but he got all the publishing on that. I'm gonna interject a little story, and then we're gonna tie it in with somebody that you know very well. So about 20 years ago, I had my Harmony Street group. We're at Rye Playland, and you know they had big crowds there. Mm-hmm. And it's Cousin Brucey, and Don K. Reed is backstage, you know, in the little tent area. Yep. And Don pulls on my shoulder. We're talking, and he says to me, "That guy sitting in the audience, man, isn't that?" And I'll tell you the name in a minute. And I said, yeah, it is. And he's sitting there with his daughter. He says, you know, let's get him back here. And so we sent somebody to go get him, and we got him back. And I took a picture with this particular person and Don. And he told me that this particular person was one of his idols and got him into radio. And I recently just blew the picture up, framed it, and sent it to Don. And Don has it sitting in his living room. It's me, Don K. Reed, and Hal Jackson.
Hal Jackson, yeah, he was the man.
Yep.
He was a real ahead of his time and day, but he was the man. Yeah, I mean, he brought everybody along, all the other disc jockeys, yep. Like Tommy Small.
Yeah, Frankie Crocker was one of his prodigies.
Crocker. And,
right?
Yeah, Jocko, all of them.
Well, you know, I mean...
a product of Hal Jackson.
Well, you know, and what's funny, too, even at that time, 20-some-odd years ago, I mean, he was old then, and he's still alive, and I think he's still doing some radio, but he was with his daughter.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
They really should do a story on him.
They really should, because...
His lifestyle, and how he was the man in the day, and he's up in his 90s now, and I think he's still doing it over there. I think he's got... What is he, WWRL? I think he says that.
He's been there, I think, forever.
That's right.
The reason Don K. Reed got hooked up is Don said he was a kid and he went on a field trip and they went down to the radio station and he was peering in there and Hal Jackson opened the control door and he says, come here, kid. And he said, come on in here. Well, let me show you what's going on here. And he showed him the microphone and let him say a few
Jack
words.
Walker, he brought Jack Walker along.
And so Don said, when I get older... That's what I want to do with my life. So he said, really, as a kid, Hal Jackson inspired him to become a radio personality. You know, it just evolved from that. So, I mean, here was a guy, Hal Jackson probably didn't even realize at that time that mm-hmm. he was going to inspire somebody to do a show. You know, the Doo-Wop Shop was such a great entity in New York.
It was. You know, I don't know how they... They took that off the air,
you know,
BSFM.
Well, you know, I talked to Don maybe three times a month.
And
you know?
They say they wasn't going to play doo-wop music, but that's where they came from.
That's
I mean, if they don't play doo-wop, what are they going to play?
Hi, this is Don K. Reed from the Doo-Wop Shop. Hey, I want you to remember that you're listening to Mike Miller, my good friend. You're on the Harmony Street Show.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. All of the R&B groups of the 70s got their entire platform and just grew out of all the harmonies, you know, the doo-wop harmonies and the R&B harmonies. I mean, it was just an extension of that. I mean, and you know it yourself, because I'm sure, I know that you've heard the Intruders version of Gloria, you know, and, you know, the Intruders, you know, did Cowboys to Girls and I'll Always Love My Mama.
Right.
But their roots are singing a really kick-ass version of Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'm sure you've heard that version. You know, so, I mean, you know, that's basically where it all comes from. I mean, when you say the Mills Brothers, I wonder, you know, at this point, those guys, whether they realized what they started, you know?
Exactly, right.
Because even the Platters, most people, depending on what decade you came from, I mean, the Platters pretty much did the Ink Spots whole repertoire at the beginning, you know?
And the five, them and the Five Keys.
Right.
Were music to your ear, man. The Platters and Tony Williams with the golden voice.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and the Five Keys, Rudy West. Boy, I mean, you know, you don't get much better than that.
Yeah, but you know what? You guys took it a little bit to the next level, because there was a time, and, you know it yourself, that the Cadillacs were it. I mean, they were it in every respect. Harmonies, the vocals, the, you know, and we'll get into, like, I'm a vocal arranger also, you know. I want to get into a little bit of something that I've found within the Cadillacs arrangements that's a little bit different than some of what you hear, you know, like straight ahead arrangements and everything. But, you know, as far as the stage show goes, I mean, you guys were it, you know, in the old days.
It's good to be around then, and it's good to be around now.
No, I'm not.
It's been good. He's kept us, most of us, alive and kicking, and we're still doing, so we got a lot to be thankful for.
Right, so here it is, you know, it's like groups are modeling themselves after the Cadillacs.
That's right.
And it's still only 1955 or 1956, and, you know, Alan Freed with the Holiday Show.
That's right.
And the Alan Freed Holiday Show, the Cadillacs, the Valentines, the Heartbeats, the Three Chuckles, Count Basie's Orchestra.
Sinatra's record at the New York Paramount.
Uh-huh. And Joe Williams was singing with Count Basie at
that time.
That's
right.
And I'm saying, my goodness.
After the first show, they brought us all backstage and said, "Well, Cadillacs, you're off the show." We said, "Well, what did we do wrong? That's so wrong. We want to apologize for it at least." He said, "No, you did nothing wrong. What we're doing is you're taking Joe Williams' spot, and Joe is taking your clothes."
Wow.
I said, "Wow, now that's a really, you know, Count Basie's and Joe Williams was a pair. And now they're moving Joe Williams from closing spot and giving it to the Cadillacs. That's saying something right there."
Well, I remember watching Joe Williams on the Mike Douglas show years ago. Every once in a while, he would bring out Joe, and ladies and gentlemen, Joe Williams, and he would come out and sing a couple of tunes. That's going back.
Yeah.
There was a tune called "Let Me Explain."
Yeah, "Let Me Explain."
Yep.
You are packed and ready to go. One side of the story, that's all you know. Let me explain. Let me explain. Before you go. Somebody knew I was holding her hand, yes, thinking of you. Can I explain? Let me explain. Before you go, you cry. Won't you see me cry? Goodbye, baby. Can I explain? There you go.
About that tune?
Well, it was, I think it was written by, what's the gentleman that used to wear the turban on stage? That wasn't Johnny Ace. It was, I can't think of his name offhand.
All right, that's all right. But
and he wrote Let Me Explain.
We'll figure that out.
Okay. Because he got a couple of tunes on the Cadillacs album. That he wrote, but I can't think. It wasn't Johnny Ace. It was the man and the clock on the wall. No, that's Johnny Ace. But I think I'll think of his name.
All right. All right.
He used to wear a turban on stage. I remember that.
Well, you know, you could probably get away with that now, too.
Right.
You know, anything goes now, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Opera House Theater in the Bronx, do you remember that place?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was a Bronx kid, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And also touring with Ray Charles.
Yeah, well, we opened for Ray Charles for a couple of years. And then we opened for Little Richard, Fast Domino.
Right. You know, it's funny because
that the booking agent and his show artist
Lloyd Price told me he had his own band.
That's right. He was the first one that had an 18-piece band.
And he said he went into the Army, and when he came out, Little Richard was singing with his band. And he came out, he said, "What's this all about?"
I think he did Lloyd McClaudy with the band.
Right. He says, "What's this all about?" You know, I'm.
I guess he was well gathered. He didn't know what was going on. Huh?
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, I guess that's the business. You know,
that's the business.
But
the business.
There's a song that I did with just about, you know, including Gloria, and just about every group that I had. We did it with the Harmony Street group, and we also used to close our show with it. And the tune is Zoom.
Well, Zoom, when the beat of my heart, yes, I know you start a little flame in my heart. Zoom, when the beat of my heart, yes, I know you a little flame in my heart. Do you remember the night we met? Your love was mine. Do you remember the night we met? Well, Zoom, when the beat of my heart is a new star, a little flame in my heart. Baby,
know, yes I do. I need you, yes I do. Well, 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 oh, baby, as we can never let me go.
Well, soon when the beat of my heart, yes I know you do start a little flame in my heart.
And as far as Zoom is concerned, let's go to how that tune is constructed, which is it's just beautifully constructed and well written as a tune because there's so much going on. But you get to the bridge, and now there's the bass thing happening in the bridge.
All right,
and that draws your attention away. But people who really know the music, and I'm listening up on top, and I'm listening to the falsetto. There's a guy up there floating in a falsetto, out of the harmony,
and he's
singing away from the harmony, not in the chord, but outside of the chord, hitting thirds and fifths.
Right.
And when we did that tune, we did it there. I have never heard another group do that tune and actually sing that part and drop it in there, because it was there on the record.
I would jump out of the lead and do...
Exactly. There's a false part, and it kicks around there almost like a pinball, but it actually it's done with intention. It hits like a third and a fifth, and it's exactly right.
I love you, baby. Oh, yes, I do. I need you, yes, I do. Well, well.
And most people don't catch it. They just know, wow, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But groups that do it straight ahead never do that. And we decided to do it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to email you the cut of it, and you're going to chuckle, and you're going to say, yep, they caught on to that.
But the last ballad we did, I was very impressed with Tell Me Today.
Uh-huh.
They bust Alan Freed for payola,
uh-huh,
and he had just jumped on it. It would have been a hit.
Right.
But then they ran him out of New York, California, and he died in California with a broken heart.
Oh, man.
And it was the last tune of Tell Me Today.
Wow.
By the Cadillacs, yeah.
If you love me the way our friends say, hey, don't tell me tomorrow, tell me today, today. If you still feel the same, oh,
well, oh, yeah,
hey, tell me tomorrow, tell me today. Tell me today.
day.
And that's another beautiful ballad I was really impressed with. But it didn't get the airplay because it got to my friend Alan.
Well, you know, there's other things going on here, too. I mean, because there are tunes that the Cadillacs did that weren't, you know, top five hits, but they were embraced. I mean, look at the tune You Are, and I say to myself, you know, that there's a tune that, you know, it's there and it lives. You know, it's just a great tune. You guys just got to sing so many wonderful tunes. I mean,
and like you say, we did some very nice ballads. You Are was one of them.
Yeah.
You are.
You are.
You are so very close to me. You are the soul deep in my heart. You are the girl I love. You are my enemy.
You are,
and yet my ecstasy. You are the flame deep in my heart. You are the girl for me. I pride in vain with someone new. Of you, I live to learn there can never be anybody like you are.
You are.
My only gain would be just the way you are to me.
Yep.
The girl I love, she's going away. The girl I love, she's going to stay. I'll dream of her each day she's gone. Her love was true, and I was wrong. I love her so much, it's a shame. And now she's leaving. And this I swear by heaven above, she'll always be the girl I love.
blank.
And this I swear, by heaven above, you'll always be the girl I love.
That was one of my favorites that didn't get much airplay, but it was a good tune.
Well, let me tell you something, because I've seen you perform a bunch of times over the years that you didn't even know that I was there, and I've seen you perform from the side of the stage, because I've done some shows with you, you know, over the years, probably one in every decade. But when you sing the lyrics to The Girl I Love, your face could light up the entire borough of Manhattan. When you just sing that one line, your eyes light up, your smile lights up.
The girl I love, she's going away.
It's and you don't even realize it, because it's such a great lyric. That whole tune is such a great tune. It's just a sweet, sweet, wonderful tune.
You are.
Right. I mean, you know, you guys were spoiled because you guys had such great material to work with.
Yes. Yes, it was big fun. Belltown did a wonderful job in the recording studio.
Right. And in those days, of course, you know, a lot of people don't know. They think, and it's not like today where, you know, each guy's got it on his own mic and they have pitch correction and they have in there. You went in behind the glass and you sang it. And if somebody screwed it up, you sang it again. Nobody was punching in and overdubbing and everything. If the drummer dropped the stick, you started over.
That's right.
You know, you had to nail it. And there were such great recordings. I ask this question a lot sometimes. I say, you know, you take a certain hit and you say, okay, you know, which cut did you guys use? You know, like, you know, how many versions of the tune did you record? They say, well, we probably did it 15 times. We wound up taking the second one.
Right.
You know, because by the time we got to the 10th, we were tired. The first one was practice, and the second and third one were
great.
Many
different cuts of it.
Yeah, you know, but
And back then, you could splice and put on to another cut.
Right.
And if you wasn't a professional, you wouldn't even know it.
No, I know. But in those days, they used to actually take a razor and cut the tape and take the scotch
tape
and put them together.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Nowadays, you got Pro Tools. They just go in there, they click on it, they cut it, they paste it, and they go, okay, here it is.
That's right. Those were good old days, though.
Yeah, you know, it's different. Well, you know, also, now you're recording now, you recorded then. I mean, the old analog tape and everything, it had a warmer room sound than the crisp, clear digital sound. It's almost too crisp.
Now they got 30 tracks. I don't know, 40 tracks. You can really soup it up.
Well, you know, I understand that, too. And another thing is, you know, in some of the big shows, a lot of the big acts, the sound guys are using pitch correction.
That's right.
And, you know, I mean, I guess to the old guard, it's like we just went out there and we sang it.
We just sang and did what we had to do.
A little bit of reverb and
that's right, and
you know,
we were going.
So you guys were the probably the most in demand in the entire country. And guys that I've spoken to in the business, you know, I say, wow, you went here, you went there. And the question always is, so with all that running around, did you make any money in those days?
Right. No, it wasn't really about the money. You were doing what you loved to do.
Yep.
And the money was basically secondary.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're getting paid more today than we did when we had the hot record.
It's, you know,
but things have changed so much in the business.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't know anything about publishing and copywriting.
Right.
So we got ripped off, like a lot of the artists. We are not the only one. They got many big artists that didn't get their due. They just now getting their due.
Right.
And most of them will never get their justice.
It's really funny that when you ask people that are the stars and the icons of the business, like yourself, you know, royalty, as I put it, of the genre, you know, it's like no one's afraid to just speak the truth and tell it the way it was.
In order for people to know the real deal, you got to just speak out.
No, you know, I know. I get emails, you know, from things that I say. I mean, and, you know, it's funny. Somebody will say something, and then you get like 15, 20 emails from people saying, ooh, you know, what did he mean by that or whatever, whatever. You know, I says, well, you know, and I say, I'm the neutral guy. I just try to ask some really good questions, and I'm also a fan.
You're asking about things that you knew happened.
Right.
You wanted to get to the bottom of it.
Right. And you know, I says, I you know, it's like, don't kill the messenger, you know.
You want to know the truth about what happened, that's all.
You know, and so, you know, people, they love this music. They are, the people that listen are part of this. They feel as if that you've been their friend for years. And they want to, they truly, sincerely want to know. I'm going to segue right over to the other side of things and ask you about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. How did you get to record that tune?
While walking down the road Christmas morning, I saw a reindeer with his nose all red.
Rudolph!
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeers used to laugh and call him names, and they never let poor Rudolph join any reindeer gang. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say,
Rudolph, with your nose so bright,
won't you come to God's bed?
All right.
Oh, well, now then, how the reindeers loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, you go down in history.
God's led.
Oh,
well, now then, how the reindeers loved him. I asked, shouted out with glee. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You go down in history. You go down in history. You go down in history.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way.
Christmas tune they wanted us to do,
right,
come up with, and J.R. Bailey was on that, and Earl Wade and myself, Robert Phillips, we went in and did Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and it became a big record for us.
Right. It made,
Christmas tune, but it was kind of big for the Cadillacs.
Right. I mean, the last guy that sang that before you and had a hit was a cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then
and like I said, man, if you can get a 5-page like a promo thing with your man, and get a copy of that if you can.
Uh-huh.
Looking at it now, I got it right here. I had it, but this is the first time I looked at it, and it's beautifully done. They got everything in here, and I think it would be good for you to have in your repertoire anyway.
He did a dossier on you.
Yeah.
That's great.
And he did a fabulous job. Please get one if you can. I recommend it.
Absolutely.
Well done with pictures and all.
Absolutely, I will.
Great.
Now he's writing for a magazine. Now he's always
magazine fell fell through. This was supposed to be the last issue.
Right.
But it didn't make the magazine. The magazine went out for some reason or another.
All right, I'm gonna talk.
I got the copy. They printed the last copy on the Cadillacs.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Joey about that.
And it's called Driving, or Still Driving Audience Wow, the Cadillacs. And it's got pictures and everything. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Super duper. I'm going to send Joey an email, and I'm going to hook up with him just right after we talk.
Very good.
Tell me about the song Sugar Sugar.
Here come a girl walking down the street. Boy, see her sweet from her head to her feet. Sugar, sugar. Sugar, sugar. Sugar, sugar, come go home with me. Roses red and the violets blue. Sugar sweet and so are you. Sugar, sugar. Sugar, sugar. Sugar, sugar, come go home with me. Sugar, 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 come go home with me.
Chuck Willis.
Was it Chuck Willis?
I think so.
I think you're right. Chuck Willis, that's who it was.
See, and I didn't even have to read Joey Marione's article.
this isn't Joey's thing. But it was Chuck Willis. He don't have that in there, the Sugar Sugar. But that's who it was. Chuck Willis wrote Sugar Sugar.
Wow.
And I think he wrote Let Me Explain also.
Right. Where did the top hat and the cane come in?
Well, in the very early beginning of my rock and roll career, I was in love with a guy, Bojangles.
Right.
And I seen him about once or twice at the Apollo, either on film or in person or something.
Uh-huh.
And he had a hat and cane.
Right.
And I took his act. I used to act as a kid in school. And he used to whistle Sweet Georgia Brown.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And that's what I started off doing.
Wow.
Until Charlie Atkins took us, and when he seen Speedo, he thought about a hat and cane also and gave me a hat and cane.
Uh-huh. So in other words, so you had the hat and the cane before Gene Chandler, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He came on as the Tuca girl. I was the girl.
No, I understand. I just wanted you to clear that up.
Yeah. But that's a good friend of mine. I was before he was.
Yeah, and I've done a couple of shows with him. He's a sweet guy, you know. People.
Yeah, he's still hot out there on stage, too.
People look forward to him with the cape. The only thing with Gene is that when you work with him in a show, He doesn't get down there as fast anymore, so the intro to the tune is 15 minutes. By the time he gets down there with the cape,
right, you know, he keeps repeating.
And he's strutting, you know, and so it's like, you know, just vamp. Shut up and vamp.
That's it. Vamp until I come in.
You know, so anyway, you know, we're coming up towards 1957, 1960, and the Cadillacs are starting to, like, pull apart a little bit and kind of go their separate ways, you know.
We had misunderstanding in management.
Right. I mean, Please Be My Girlfriend is one of my favorite tunes, and we did that. I've done that with all the groups I've ever been in.
I'm asking you, boom, 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 boom.
Please be my girlfriend. I've been waiting for a long, long time. For that moment I could call you mine. Oh, little girl, say yes.
I tell you.
Yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
girlfriend? Please give my heart one little chance. And we can build a sweet romance. I really love you so.
I'll be faithful and true. Please let me prove it to you. I love you, man.
And I feel this way until eternity. Please be my girlfriend. I want to be your lover, lover boy. Baby doll, please fill my heart with joy. Please say yes.
I tell you.
Yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
I'll be faithful and true. Please let me prove it to you. I love you madly, and I feel this way until eternity. Please be my girlfriend. I want to be your lover, lover boy. Baby doll, please fill my heart with joy. Say yes.
I tell you.
Yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
girlfriend? Ooh, girlfriend. Ooh, girlfriend. Ooh, girlfriend. Ooh.
Right.
And some others. And you know, all of a sudden the Cadillacs, you know, they're doing what a lot of groups do. They're kind of, you know, facing different directions.
Yeah, well, at that time, I was offered a job with the Coasters, and I told them I would think about it, and by the time they get back from Chicago, they were at the Tivoli Theater for 9 days.
Wow.
And they said, we got a spot that we would like to fill in our group, and if you're interested, we would love to have you.
Unbelievable.
About it, and talk to your guys and your family and find out, and let us know. And they was kind of burning up at that time with Charlie Brown and Yakety Yak and Poison Ivy.
You bet.
You know, and not only were they singing, they were acting on stage.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, Peekaboo was very much like a Coaster tune.
Jack Hammer,
right,
had wrote the tune and gave it to Lieber and Stoller. But
right.
Lieber and Stoller wanted 50% of the publishing and half of the writing, and they... Jack Hammer said, no, I'm not going to give that much of my tune away. Yeah.
When you come up from a dance, stand in the hall and make a move. When you do the thing you sit and do,
Higaboo, I'm watching you.
When you want to be a school, learn about the road.
Higaboo, I'm watching you. Look in the dark, you see my face. Don't try to hide my baby place. Play cool, kind of sweet. I'm going to give you
what? Hope you're at the thing I said. Never forget
your big heart. Higaboo, I'm watching you.
Thank you.
dog. You see my face. Don't try to hide. I'm every place. Black, down the street. I'm gonna give you
what? Hope you heard the thing I said. Let it sink in your big hard head. And when you tell, I'm telling you the truth.
Higaboo, I'm watching you.
I do the things I shouldn't do.
Higaboo, I'm watching you.
I do the things I shouldn't do.
Higaboo, I'm watching you.
And brought it to us, the Cadillacs. We recorded, and it was very successful for us.
I had the pleasure of, you know, Vita and I are very friendly, and, you know, of course, they live here in Florida, but I had the pleasure of actually doing probably the last interview that Carl Sr. will do.
Uh-huh.
And I had him on my show, and of course Vita helped him, you know, get through it.
Right.
And then I also segued Junior into the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we had a very nice talk about the years gone by, and you know, I think to myself, what a fabulous life Carl had as far as what he did. But then I think about you. And I say to myself, to have the opportunity to sing with two groups that were such, that gave so much and so many tunes to so many people is just a wonderful thing.
Yeah, Carl Gardner is a beautiful person, and
you know yourself. I mean, the culmination has to be you go on PBS and you come out and you do Gloria, and you know it's like almost the whole state of Pennsylvania is standing up singing Gloria that night.
We always have been a favorite in the Pennsylvania area.
Right. But, you know.
And again, while we're talking, you can always check out our website,
VitoandTheCadillacs.com. Right.
I think we'll be in Pennsylvania the 16th of March at one of the venues down there, so I would love you to come by and your audience.
Absolutely.
An audience to come by and be my guest. You can look that up on the website.
Give me the website again very clearly so that people can get on there and take a peek.
It's SpeedoAndTheCadillacs.com.
Right, okay.
And it's SpeedoAndTheCadillacs, A-N-D.
Right.
And they can find out what we're doing and what we're getting ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
And really would appreciate it if they come on out and be my guest.
Well, you know, I mean,
if I'm in the area.
That'd be great. Now, you know, one of the things that I did when I wasn't singing, I was a dean in a very tough New York City school in the Bronx. And I read somewhere, and of course I know this to be a fact, that you were actually a custodian in a school, and you got very close to the kids. And I know what that's all about.
Right.
Once you become part of a family like that, and you get to see generations of kids go by, you know, and they all get to know you, it's
really great.
It's a great thing. Where was that actually, Earl?
It was PS 87.
Right.
That's 78th Street in New York City.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's of elementary.
Right.
And I was with the teeny weeny and went up to the fifth grade.
Wow.
And I still go by and see the kids every now and then. They'd be so excited and glad to see me.
That's
stay in contact with them. Barbara Walters, I had all the radio stations come by and do a promo on it. Barbara Walters and Channel 4 and Channel 2 and
absolutely. So tell me one thing. What's your favorite Cadillacs tune?
My favorite Cadillac. I guess I got to say Speedo because
it's got your name on it.
When they kick Speedo, look like everybody just perk right up and go to dancing around. They get into it and they really enjoy it. So I enjoy doing it.
Boom, boom, boom.
Now they often call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. Now they often call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. Local meeting brand new fellas and taking other folks' girls.
That's man Mosquito. He don't never take it slow. Well, not he often call me Tito, but my real name is Dirt. Not he often call me Tito, but my real name is call me Joe. That's man Mosquito. He don't never take it slow. Well, not the awful call me Mosquito, but my real name is Mister. Not the awful call me Mosquito, but my real name is Mister. And now they gonna call me Mosquito till they call off making pretty girls.
Well, you know, working with different bands over the years and everything, you know yourself that unless you have a really strong nucleus, because when you get to a show, you send your sheet music out, and when you get there, you know, in each town it's a different band, and unless your act and your vocals are together, you know, it doesn't happen because every night is different.
Right.
You know? Who are with the Cadillacs now? Who are the guys you have with you now?
Gary K. Lewis.
Right.
And we got our guitar player, John.
Right.
And we got a new young man. His name is Richie.
Right.
Uh-huh. And we also got my tenor saxophone man.
Right.
Randy Gilmore.
Uh-huh.
And it's myself. And together, we kind of keep it together, I guess, between the four of us.
Well, you know, you got up out on stage, you know, like you always do, and you says, hey, it's the Cadillacs, you know, fast stepping and sharp dressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I elbowed my wife and I said, Paulette, you know, they've been doing this like all those years, and that's it. And I said, you know, I know about Dave the Taylor, not too many people do.
Oh, Dave Taylor. Wow, he started all of us off, really, in show business, uh-huh. Cadillacs. But then the Temptations found out who our band was, and they started getting their clothes from him also. Dave the Taylor. Yes, sir, boy, that goes back.
Well,
FNF clothes.
Is there anything that you want to say to people that have enjoyed and loved the Cadillacs over the years and will continue to enjoy them?
Support. Sincerely thank them for their support. And I've just been so fortunate to be around and be in their presence. And then to be able to entertain them, and it's still going on. That's what's amazing to me. Here it is, 2011, from 1952 to 2011.
Right.
And they still appreciate and love it, and right. I love doing it.
I don't, you know, I'm going to tell you this because you're pretty humble. When you're on stage and even off stage, you know, and people just want to get near you and get to know you because you're a legend, Earl, and you know, and whether you like it or not,
right?
And I guess you know you are aware of how much people love you. People love you. People.
And I want people to know that I love them. There is no Earl or show business or rock and roll or rhythm and blues or anything without the public, the people appreciating what you do and what you got to offer.
I understand.
I like to thank them for loving me and being in my corner, and I'm looking forward to the next 20 years of God is.
There you go. Well, you know, you just light up when you cut. I mean, you know, you're at home on stage and you light up, and when you get out there, it's your stage. I mean, you know, like the other night in Boca, you came off the stage, you went out, you touched the people, you greeted the people, you danced with the people, and then you got back.
Yeah, you got to touch them. If you don't touch them, then you're not doing your job.
No, no, I agree with you 100%, you know. It's all beautiful.
I wonder why I love you like I do.
I wonder why I love you like I do.
Well, I wonder why I love you like I do so much. Oh, but I crave your love. Yes, and I wonder why. Well, remember the night you told me no other arm could hold me. Yes, I love you. And I place no one above you. Now I wonder why I love you like I do so much. Oh, but I pray for your love. Yes, and I wonder why.
Wonder why.
I wonder why I love you. I wonder why I do. I wonder why I need you. I love you, I need you. Oh, oh, oh.
Still I wonder why I love you like I do so much. Oh, but I pray for your love. Place no one above you now. I wonder why I love you like I do so much. Oh, but I pray for your love. Yes, and I wonder why.
Wonder why.
The wishing well, yes, wishing that you wouldn't tell. Yes, I love you. Yes, it's true. Something tells me that you love me too. I can't stand it. Why did you go? Yes, knowing you would hurt me so.
Wishing well, wedding bells, wishing you would tell.
Ooh. Yes, I love you, darling. Yes, and God. God knows it's true, but something tells my poor worthless heart, dear, that you love me too. Yes, I prayed to God. Yes, prayed. He'll bring you back to me.
Wishing well, wedding bell. Wishing you would tell.
Ooh. Yes, I love you. Yes, it's true. Something tells me that you love me too.
Wishing well, wedding bell. Wishing you would tell.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding.
I've been crying both night and day. Oh, whoa, 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 it's me. Won't somebody please hear my plea? I've been down on a bending knee. I've been living in a misery.
Don't you try to break it in two. Break on my heart, you know my heart has always been true to you. Cause you know I love you, darling. You know that I really do. So don't be mad at my heart. And don't you try to break it in two. Because my heart, you know my heart has always been true to you. Well, this little heart of mine has always been true to you. So why not treat it kind, just like you ought to do. Don't be mad at my heart, and please don't say goodbye. Well, because if you ever do, I know I should die. Because my heart, you know my heart has always been true to you.
The mighty tiger and tied him in a knot and be a happy man if all I ever got was
24 hours of your love. 24 hours of your love.
I don't wanna wake up, I just wanna play. Ship, a cook of your food and a pack of your grip. Standing on my head like I got no weight, and standing in line just to get another date. And
24 hours of your love. 24 hours of your love.
I don't wanna wait, I just wanna play. Diamond ring and a red sports car, a jet chili coat like a movie star, a mansion on the hill and a swimming pool. I even act like I'm a fool.
24 hours of your love. 24 hours of your love.
I don't wanna wait.
Coming home to me. She went and left me a long time ago. She got mad because I lost my dough. She's coming home to me. I wrote and told her I was doing fine now. Everything is okay. Come back, baby, come back to stay. Ooh, met a train on the line. Now I didn't think it would ever make a time moving. She's coming home to me. Come back, baby, come back to stay. Ooh, met a train on the line. Now I didn't think it would ever make the time moving. She's coming home to me. She's coming home to me. Come on here, woman. My feet just hurt me and you jiving. Come on here. Now if I go upside your head with these domes, I know what's gonna happen. Will you come on here, woman?
smiling too much when I ask you to pity me. All I ask is your touch, your touch of sympathy. Dear Lord, am I pleased? Send my baby back to me.
Thank you so much for being a guest on the show, and I've just had so much fun enjoying your music over the years, and you've given so many people so much pleasure with all the Cadillac hits. Thank you so, so much.
I'd like to thank you, Mike Miller, for inviting me to be a guest on your show, and I finally made the big time. Still at the moment.
Yeah, you say that to everybody, man. Well, I'll see you soon, and I'll speak to you soon.
Okay.
All right, Earl. Have a great night.
Okay, and you stay well, Mike.
You too, man. Bye.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be, remember all the love we found, ooh,
on Harmony Street, ooh, there was a place
we
that we used to go,
ooh,
when we were feeling down,
and
we were low. We couldn't believe our eyes
when
we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find
we really cared?
We looked into each other's hearts. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. We couldn't believe our eyes
when
we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find
we really cared?
We looked into each other's eyes around the road that led. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street.
Mm-hmm.
there was nothing I could do, nothing to say. We looked into each other's eyes and found a lonely thoroughfare on Harmony Street. Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on Harmony Street. Open up your heart.